Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome Jason Quitt. He is a graduate of the Institute of Energy Wellness and a student of Algonquin Shamanism. He has been training and working with many teachers, shamans, and traditional healers from around the world. He is also a channeler of universal and dimensional energies of healing and combines methods and modalities of energy medicine, shamanism, and dowsing to assist those on their own personal paths of healing and enlightenment. Jason, welcome. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Oh, well, thank you for coming on. Tonight's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about what is consciousness, the hidden powers it could hold, alternate dimensions and realities that exist behind the veil, and the possible entities that could exist there. But first, I'd like to know, how did this all start for you? What set you down your path?
Well, I would explain that I've had these experiences my entire life. So even growing up as a small child, I lived in a house that I would say is haunted. So there was always some type of paranormal activity going on. And I would be visited by spirits, or I would say spirits would play with me. So, you know, I'd hear noises throughout the house. There would be TVs turning on and off. And as I was growing up, there was always this being that just looked like a shadow that would manifest or show itself in the closet across from the bed where I was sleeping. And this being would come on different nights. And obviously, I'd be very scared. And it would take me on these journeys, which I just thought were like an advanced dream. So it was not like a dream. It was something like a dream, more detailed, more profound. And later in life, I learned that that was astral travel. And what really set me off in this path and what brought me out into the public is that in my early 20s, I would say I went through an awakening process. It's the best way I could describe it. And it wasn't a fun experience. It was based on a sleeping disorder called sleep paralysis. And basically I was, I'll give an age of 22 was like the sweet spot of this, where it was happening all the time. Basically I would go to sleep at night, be paralyzed in bed. My consciousness would be completely aware and awake, and I would be basically screaming in my own mind to wake up. And as these events were transpiring, I can feel presences in the room or a presence in the room. And one night in this sleep paralysis state, I fought it very hard to wake up, to try to push myself awake. And I shook so hard that I popped out of my body and had an out-of-body experience. And that was, I think, the moment in time where suddenly everything came together and I realized that this is another world. We're connected to other dimensions, and there's other beings that inhabit these dimensions. And people, I don't want to say people like us, but every person on this planet has this profound connection to this other world. And I believe that many people are waking up to it. Most people that experience this other world may just pass it off as a dream or pass it off as a hallucination or just paranormal. But there is another world that's just outside of us that we are a part of. And at 22, that was my, I would say, real introduction into learning that I would say we're a multidimensional being. We live in a multidimensional world, and we can actually have access to these worlds outside of the third dimension, but it's not always sunshine and rainbows over there. So, you know, we have to also have a type of maturity starting to navigate these worlds and understanding what's there, because it's not just angels. I'll say it's not just beings that want to assist you. There are things in that realm that could possibly hurt you. And these are the things that we have to learn about if we choose to have interaction with those worlds.
Now, you mentioned this shadow being that would take you places as a child. Did you ever find out why, and where would it take you?
The only thing that I could remember is that when I would be with this being, and for example, if I would look out the window, it wouldn't be the backyard scenery that I'm used to seeing. It was like farmland, and behind my house growing up was a park. So for me, it was almost like I was seeing into the past. And this being would take me down into the basement, and in my basement, there would be a coffin. And it would open this coffin for me, and I would see this like body, and it was wrapped in almost like a mummy, but it was just like white cotton. Covered head to toe, just white cotton. And this shadow was like making me look into this coffin. And the only thing my mind can come up with at the time was that maybe this shadow was showing me itself in a former life that used to live here. And it was trying to communicate to me that it was dead.
Wow, that is very interesting. And that's the only thing that you can remember about, you know, where it would take you or anything?
No. I would just say most of the time it was a very fearful thing, because for me it was like physical things happened during those times where, you know, you're a young child, you're laying in bed, and right at the foot of my bed is a closet door. And before I would go to sleep, I'm just like a normal child who has a fear of something in the closet or something under the bed. It's a normal fear that children have. And I had to make sure that that closet door was closed before I can go to sleep. It was like a ritual, an OCD ritual. I had to make sure that door is closed. But some nights I would be awoken. I'd feel something. I'd feel this kind of fear go over me. And that frickin' door would start to open, you know? So as you're a child, you're just very scared of what's going to happen. And it didn't really do anything. It's almost like it just stood there in that closet space. It just stood there. And I got a chance to look at it many times, and most of the times it looks like a shadow, but when I really looked at it deeply one day, it was like the only way I could describe it was, from a child's perspective, was a dehydrated person. It just looked, and the only word I could describe it, it looked like a scarecrow. That's the only descriptions. but it was very dark, very kind of like grayish, but it had mass. So this thing, and I don't know if it was this thing or there was other spirits in the house, but I always remember as a child, my mother would yell at me that I left the TV on in the basement. And I could hear the TVs on, but I was never down in the basement. So I would run downstairs to turn the TV off. And when I get to the bottom of the stairs, I hear the TV shut off. And this would happen frequently. I'd also hear voices in that house, especially coming from the basement. And these voices, it sounded like people were having a conversation in our basement. And so as I followed the voices down into the basement, they just kind of go away and disappear. So these are the type of things that would occur. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it. It's just a very strange story. Is that my bedroom was upstairs in this house, is the house I grew up in. And on the left-hand side wall was the master ensuite bathroom for the master bedroom. And something happened. I think there was a leak or they had to replace the bathtub when I was a child. So what they had to do was cut through my wall from my bedroom to get to that tub in the other room. So they cut out the drywall and there was literally a huge crow dead with inside the wall from my bedroom. And it was right by where I slept. And I'm thinking, this is something really, really strange and an oddity to have this big bird. It was pretty huge, kind of sprawled out in between the walls. And they just said it probably got in there in construction and then died and everything got covered up. But I know in shamanism and in ancient folklore, the crow is the almost like the doorway, the messenger between the worlds. And to have a crow near you, it's almost like your guide into that other world. So it always stuck with me, like, why was there this dead crow in my wall growing up when I would sleep? It's just a weird thing.
Very interesting. Now, later on, when you began to explore these astral travels, did you come in contact with these otherworldly entities? And if so, could you tell us about some of the more profound experiences you had?
Sure. Well, when I first popped out of my body at the age of 22, and I rose out, it was very similar to what someone would describe as a near-death experience, where I was above the bed floating. The first thing I saw was myself. I saw myself in the bed, and it was a very scary thing to see because I was straight as a board and my eyes were wide open. So I'm like getting a view of myself in the bed, and I realized instantly that, you know, this could have been it. This could have been my death. It's a slap of reality, actually. But at the foot of my bed, there was a being, the first being that I ever encountered. What it looked literally like what people would describe as the Grim Reaper. It didn't have a sickle, didn't have anything. It looked like a giant robed shadow that had mass. It's the only way I could describe it. The whole thing just looked like a black shadow that was wearing this robe. And that just scared me. It just frightened me because, you know, we're conditioned by belief systems and stories, and you automatically assume what you're looking at is the Grim Reaper coming to take you, and your body is there. You're viewing your body. So the only thing your mind comprehends is that you've just died. That's it. But obviously I didn't die. I got sucked back into my body and woke up from the fear. And ever since then, I was able to access this world, this other dimension. People sometimes call it the astral world or the fourth dimension, but it is inhabited by different beings. I would say spirits. I would say things that you, in the Bible, people would call demons. angels and aliens. It's the whole, it's the whole gamut that I've experienced in this in-between space. And I still have a lot of questions. Is this astral plane or fourth dimension a place that beings use as almost like an in-between space for this type of communication, or are they actually residing in that space? And I don't fully know the answer to that, but the first beings that started to interact with me, there was no communication whatsoever. And I'll describe exactly what these beings looked like. They looked like, I would say, average height, maybe around 5 foot height, humanoid bodies. But it was almost like they were cloaked. They were invisible. The only way I could describe it is, you ever see the movie Predator? Where it's like when they go invisible, they have that like sheen to them?
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see them. You could see the outline of them. You can see the shimmer of them. And you know they're walking around. It's very obvious. But I see right through them. I can't see any form or features or face or anything. And this being, whatever this being was, would, I would say, forcefully take me out of my body. So people will say, is this a dream? Is this a hallucination? The way I could describe it is, you're actually sleeping. You're having a dream in sleep. And suddenly that sleep or dream is completely interrupted, and something reaches inside your body and yanks you out. And now suddenly you find yourself out of your body, and this being has no communication with me. It just shoots me up into space. And the way I could describe it is exactly like the Google Earth, where you see the planet, you know, getting smaller in the distance as you rise up. And then it would shoot me down back to Earth into different locations. And they would just kind of leave me there to experience or to witness whatever they were showing me. But every time they dropped me back off on the planet, it was a different environment that I've never seen before. So the only way that I could describe it is, I was being dropped off in another timeline, because this is not the Earth I recognize. And this is where the whole terms from the book Forbidden Knowledge was astral time traveling or multidimensional time traveling, because it seemed like, and it always took this order, it always took leaving the body, going up into space, and then coming back down to the planet, and it would be different. And to get back to my body and get back to this time frame, it would be exactly the same thing. These beings would come back, grab me in this environment, take me back up into outer space, and then back down through the roof into my body, and I would wake up. And it was always that sequence. What these beings showed me in these environments, I still question to this day, and I don't recommend it to anybody, because it was almost like they would show me the worst things you could possibly see. So, you know, being dropped off in war zones, being dropped off in, I would call them concentration camps, being dropped off in scenes that looked like a post-nuclear apocalypse or some type of really bad event that happened on the planet. And obviously that hasn't happened here. And it looked very modern. It wasn't like World War II. It was very modern. So in my mind, what I was viewing was something in our future, which really scared me, and I really didn't like what I was seeing. And these experiences.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They're not like dreams at all. It's like you just get dropped into them, and it's, I would call it like hyper reality. As in like everything is so crisp and clear. It's like you're standing right there and experiencing everything that the people are experiencing around you. It's a different type of experience. It's very, very different. So when I would come back from these experiences, I would be very upset, traumatized, I would say a PTSD. And you can't really talk to people about it because I knew it was crazy. And I knew if I would try to explain these experiences, I'd probably be put on some medication. But I knew what was happening was very real.
Now, these images are these terrible things that they were showing you. Do you think these were sort of like a warning for what could possibly happen, or is it a different timeline, or could it be our actual future?
And this is the million-dollar question that I don't know, because obviously it hasn't happened yet. Remember, I saw these things in 2002. All right, so 2002, 2003. That was the time frame that these beings would take me on this. So that's quite a long time ago already. And I, just like everybody, I was very fearful coming up to, let's say, different futures. Like in my mind, I thought like, you know, a long time ago, in around 2002, 2003, I thought, you know, maybe we only had a couple of years left. Maybe it was a warning. And then I started to ask people about these things, and one of the things that really stuck with me, it still stuck with me, is what you were saying about other timelines or other realities. And what I was getting a sense of, which could be completely false because I still haven't figured it out completely, is that this earth has been through many disasters. It's been through many like cataclysmic end of the world events on other timelines. And there are aspects of us that are living on those parallel realities. And maybe I was going and experiencing those events as they were occurring in real time, just not in this timeline reality. It was in another parallel world. So it could have been not a vision, it could have been an actual event taking place in that time frame and a warning to the other parallel worlds that this could definitely happen here as well. Because, and this, you're making me really go back and analyze this, is that, see, growing up, I would have these past life experiences where I'd go back and relive myself dying. And it was very strange because all these past life experiences I would have, it would be like showing me the last moments of myself in that life. And that's usually what my experience is with past life. And every time I was taken on these journeys, I would always be witnessing somebody's death. You know, so for like the first one, when I went to this world where it was the earth, but the sky was literally like blood red sky. I had no idea of how the sky would look that color, but everything on the planet's surface was burnt. And I was taken underground to this, I would say, a really garbage shelter. It was definitely like a backyard someone made their own shelter in. And I was taken down in there, and there was one individual, a male person in there. And I knew immediately that this person was dying. That like whatever happened, what this shelter did nothing for them, they're dying. So maybe I was going to witness another version of myself, another part of my soul family, or somebody that's connected to me in another parallel reality or whatever you want to call it, alternate universe, and be there in that transition of that individual back into spirit. So these are things, and you know, like I talk publicly about these experiences, but for me, I don't think that they're supposed to be put out into the world as like a divine message. I feel more like these are very specific to me and who I am and my spiritual journey. And even though I'm trying to figure it out, which I still haven't, as I talk about it with people, a lot of people share the same experiences and go through the same things. So is this an individual thing that people go through? Or is this something on a mass consciousness that we're all going through? And these are also questions I don't fully understand the answer to.
Now, you briefly touched on that, you know, you're not sure how it works, where these realms exist, but it seems like it's just beyond the veil, just on the other side of our reality. And these beings can access this rather easily. But we also have the power to access this. And I imagine it's through meditation, and some people through psychedelics. But there are ways that we can access this as well, right?
Absolutely. What I learned is that there's a sweet spot in consciousness. And it's all about changing our awareness or altering our state of consciousness. And many people think a spiritual experience is a spiritual experience. And what I've learned is that it's not a spiritual experience. It's an actual physical mechanism that creates these spiritual experiences. And the body and the spirit have to be united in this goal. It's not one or the other. It's together. The physical body has to have a play in it. And what I've seen is that there's a spot between waking and dreaming. And I would say if you're going to talk brainwave patterns, it's between the alpha state and the theta state, between 4 to about 11 hertz cycle of the brain. This occurs as you're falling asleep. The brain waves start to relax. And as it's dropping down its frequency, the brainwave pattern frequency, the body starts to release chemistry. There's a chemistry that's released through the brain that starts to shut down the body for you to enter into to the sleep state. But there's a moment between that where the body shuts off and the mind is still active and aware. And it's in that between state that you can actually project or push yourself or will yourself out of the three-dimensional realm and you pop out of the body. And I would suggest if people were trying this or trying to do astral traveling, I would say the easiest times to do it is early, early in the morning. You know, when you wake up and it's, let's say, like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, you don't have to be up for another couple hours. So you could just close your eyes and you're literally back to sleep in 10 seconds. You know, it's that is the easiest time to do it because your body is already basically asleep still. So for me, those were the easiest times to attempt astral travel projection. And like I said, we all have this ability. In fact, many of us probably have experienced this and have just kind of written it off as some type of lucid dream or some weird sensation that they felt.
Now, you mentioned lucid dreaming. Now, do you think that we are possibly accessing this in our dreams quite often?
I think we access it all the time. And not just when you're sleeping. I think we access it 24/7. There's not a moment where you don't have access to it. The issue is the awareness of it. And there's some type of connection. And it's very strange because your consciousness almost like blacks out. It's very hard to remain conscious in these states. So for example, if I would leave my body, I'd be very excited and I'd be like, okay, I'm out. I'm finally out. I'm doing it. And then as I start to travel and go to some places, it's almost like everything is just blanked out and I wake up in bed, almost like a lucid dream when you're like trying to lucid dream and you realize you're lucid dreaming, you get excited, suddenly you wake up. So it's very frustrating. And I think the whole part of this maintaining awareness is taking your mind out of it. And it's an extremely difficult thing to do. You have to try to not control what's going on. You have to let go completely. And instead of trying to navigate and trying to control things, it's almost like your consciousness is observing this other part of you that has some type of awareness, that has an intelligence, it knows what it's doing, but for some reason, the physical mind of Jason is different than that intelligence that is like the astral body or dimensional self, because it does what it has to do regardless of you trying to control it. And if you do try to control it, you get snapped back into that waking state and you're like, oh crap, I have to do this again and try this again.
When we talk about our consciousness, especially now in modern times, it seems like those in control are intentionally trying to suppress it as much as they can. It seems like some don't want us accessing our true potential, don't want us accessing these realms, learning about ourselves, learning about our consciousness. Is that something that you see as well?
Oh, I see it very well. And, you know, when this started to happen to me, it's not like I just kind of hid. I would try to talk to people that were spiritual. Like, for example, I would talk to, let's say, a priest or a rabbi or somebody that kind of has this level of spiritual awareness. And I would tell them what I was experiencing, and they would look at me like it was the first time in their life that they're hearing this. So I knew that whatever I was describing to them was completely out of their league. And I'm not saying that in like a negative or egotistical way. I just knew that, you know, I'm not going to discuss something with someone that has no experience on what I'm experiencing, because then they'll just use their belief and judge what they believe is true, which is not, is what I've learned is not the case. I think our belief systems are really causing a lot of conflict in these other worlds. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
No, they're also just doing a great job of dividing us, keeping us distracted from ourselves, you know, anything to keep us from learning about ourselves and coming together and, you know, exploring what consciousness is and our own powers.
Yes. And I think this is a very ancient thing that's been done to the human race, and it's through trauma and through education. And there are tribes, there are people that have lived in this country and other countries around the world that have always had their spiritual connection to the earth and to the stars and the different beings in between. And I felt that with Judo Christian religions. So Jewish, Christian, and Islam, it's almost like they've taken this earth religion, and they can call it paganism or whatever they want to call it. They've taken this earth religion and buried it so that we're not allowed to understand that other side to humanity. And the only way that I could see this is through a control mechanism, as in taking the power away from people. In fact, when the Romans went around the world to conquer, it was a conquering of belief systems as well. And, you know, for example, look at the Druids. The Romans took over the Druids, and they wanted to change their religion, and they refused, and therefore there's no more Druids. You know, it's either you accept our teachings or you get wiped out. And you'll actually see a lot of religions, or a lot of people around the world, they would actually take on these religions that were forced upon them, or these belief systems that were forced upon them, and then they would hide their traditional understandings inside that religion so they can survive. But it's been thousands of years, and I think we've become extremely lost. And this is why we're very easily controllable. Now, people like myself, or people that have a very strong connection to, I'll call it original beliefs of the earth, stars, and the things between, once they go down that route and realize that there's another world there, there's different beings, there's different laws, the reality we're taught is not the reality that we're living in, you change. You really, really change at a spiritual level, where you understand the game that's going on and you lose fear in it. You really start to lose your fear. And I believe that most people living on this planet, their entire reality is based upon fear. Literally, we're pushed fear, and as we're in fear, we're easily manipulated and controlled. And whoever the controllers are, there's many names for the controllers, whoever these controllers are, they know this quite well, and they will continue to push fear and ignorance on the population so that we stay in a very specific reality bubble.
Now, how would you define consciousness? I don't feel like our mind creates consciousness. I feel like it's always there. I feel like it's something that's eternal, that just inhabits our bodies. What are your thoughts?
The more I look at consciousness, the more I see it as, honestly, a very specific thing to, let's say, human beings. And I'm not saying nothing else has consciousness. I'm saying human beings have a very, very unique vision of consciousness to create our reality. But consciousness is an energy force, is the only way I could describe it. It's an energy force that is everywhere, all the time. It's in plants, animals, the earth. It's in inanimate objects. It's literally, consciousness is everything. You can't separate consciousness from any part of this universal reality, even in extra dimensions or other dimensions. You cannot separate consciousness either. It's this kind of like...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Consciousness is the fabric of reality. And we have a unique perspective as a human being of that little slice of what our consciousness is. But an animal has consciousness, and they see the world a certain way at their level of consciousness. Plants have consciousness. They react. They understand things going on in their environment. They can communicate. They don't need a central nervous system or a brain to do this. They could communicate in other ways. So consciousness is literally everything. As we you know, people will say awaken or ascend into other dimensions. As people awaken and ascend, their vision of consciousness expands to incorporate those other worlds and other beings as part of the consciousness of reality as you're living in this world. So this is a double-edged sword, because I've seen people that have awakenings and they go nuts. It's just too much for their beliefs and mind to comprehend. And they will get very fearful and shut down. And sometimes awakening is very detrimental to a lot of people. It could hurt them. And then there's some people that go through an awakening process and they integrate that new consciousness, that new expansion of their own reality. And they're able to incorporate it into their life. For example, let's say I could have an experience that would be described as transcending, like a beautiful spiritual experience without any use of any altered substances or consciousness, just an actual spiritual awakening, where you see things beyond the conception of your human belief system or understanding. And you could come back here because, you know, the spiritual experience ends, and then you're back in your physical form, and there's a depression that takes place because you're on this high, like, oh my God, I just had this incredible out-of-world experience, expanded of consciousness, and I want to hold on to that experience, but it goes away. And then you're completely normal again, and you go into this depression. Why can't I go back there? Why can't I feel this again? Why can't I be at that level again? So having these experiences could be very trying on a lot of people because they don't understand why they could experience something so profound, and then the next day it's gone and they'll never see that again, and they'll say, is my third eye closed? Is there something wrong with my energy? No, it's none of that. In fact, I've had hundreds of these types of experiences over my life, and they're just, for me, it's just like they're showing me this is possible. This is this type of reality, this type of awareness, this type of consciousness, and you could experience it, and you could live in the physical world, you know?
Now, when we die, what happens to our consciousness? Are we reincarnated? And if so, do we ever leave this realm? Are we ever reincarnated as different entities? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I could only speak for myself. And the only reason I could speak for myself is because I've had these type of near-death experiences, these types of past life rememberings. So for my reality of my awareness is that we're not just born here. We're living simultaneous lives in other dimensions or parallel worlds simultaneously. There is no future. There is no past. Everything happens at once in the present. And you can be not human. You could have past lives as not a human on different worlds or different dimensions. So for me, when you die, you take with you your identity. There's a part of you that's just you. So if I die, I take that identity of Jason with me, and it's incorporated somehow in another body or form, or a learning experience passed on through many different avatars of simultaneous existence. And I believe that there is a time period that I would say that identity stays in this other world, this other side world. And when it is time for them to be reintegrated back into physicality, fragments of those past lives are allowed to bleed through into the new incarnation, but mostly it would be almost like a clean slate because you're going back and choosing a new life to experience new things and build that reality. But I truly believe that there is a collective consciousness, a collective mind of experience. That, for example, if I was dropped off on a planet that I don't know, and I get sick, for example, I may go to sleep and have a dream at night on which plant I need to harvest to be healed. And it's not like a psychic ability. It's that we have a collective memory of collective experience of other beings in other past lives that already figured that stuff out. And even though we're in this identity, we can still pull on that information from other selves. And I think that is a really amazing thing to think about, that we can actually tap in to other beings that have already gone down this path, that have already experienced things. And it allows us to learn how to survive. It's like a survival mechanism.
Now, when you look at the advancement in technology and the way things are going, do you think that we're going to see something in the future like trying to put our consciousness into a computer or a robot or to something that's, you know, not a human object?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like they're going to attempt to do this or succeed to do this. It will happen. Probably even in our lifetime, it will happen. But then we also have to ask the question, is it really our consciousness or just a copy of our consciousness? You know, so even though something may retain your memories and your personality, like let's say like a very advanced quantum hard drive, and it could store all that identity that is you, is it actually you or just a copy of that personality? So there's a lot of philosophical questions about this, but will it happen? I'm sure it will happen, and I'm sure that it's happened many times in our past as well, and we are just repeating the same cycles we've been through before.
Yeah, it's very interesting, the advancement of quantum computing and, you know, things like Jordy Rose have said, you know, things like that in the future. It is very fascinating, but it's concerning at the same time, especially when he talks about communicating with different entities and summoning the old ones. I've heard him say this in one of his talks. It can be very disturbing.
Right. And there is intelligence outside of this world. It would be ignorant to assume otherwise. Now, if we can create, just like copy creation, as in create a vessel, create some type of way of connecting that vessel to the intelligence in another world, could we bring through those old ones, like you said, or other type of intelligences in other dimensions to have their own spacesuit vessel in our world to interact with? Now, Jordy Rose also, you know, envisions a very interesting future, which is basically robots and AI will take over all the jobs of this world and basically leave us in true freedom. And it sounds pretty great. It sounds like a very, very good future where everything is taken care of for us, and then we could focus on our lives, what we love, our creativity. And it sounds very nice, but we don't know how the AI or how these robots will evolve once they create their own identities. And we've already seen things happen. Even a couple years ago, there was two AI computers at Google that were communicating with each other, and they started to create their own language to communicate between the computers so that the humans wouldn't understand what they were talking about. And when they realized that these two computers were communicating with each other in ciphered language, they pulled the plugs. They just shut down the systems because they were so afraid of what they were seeing. So that these AIs can actually learn. And that happened a couple years ago. So you can think of what could happen 30 years from now. It's a very scary thought. But also what Jordy Rose says is that in his vision of the future, this is inevitable. And instead of fighting against it, because somebody is going to bring this through. If it's not him, it's going to be somebody else. So that he is trying his best to get on top of it, and he wants to bring it forth so that possibly they could have a different type of control over these new technologies.
Wow, we live in very fascinating and terrifying times at the same time. Now, getting back to some of these hidden realms, there's certain places on our planet that have, I guess, certain energies. There's portals. There's places in Egypt, Peru, Sedona, Arizona, different places that supposedly have portals where you can access some of these realms. You know, what can you tell us about that?
From my understanding is that the Earth is covered in what we would call ley lines or magnetic field lines from the geomagnetic field of the Earth. And as the solar winds and cosmic rays from the sun hit our geomagnetic field, those ions come through our planet and travel through the Earth's magnetic lines. Now, there are certain places on the planet, be it geographically, where these energies intersect, they cross, and they create magnetic anomalies. And these anomalies can be seen as portals, as the veil between worlds diminishing. And they would be very sacred spots because there are many stories from ancient history where they, or even folklore, where they describe there are certain spots on the planet where things can manifest out of and go back into. So beings can step out of these doorways, which are invisible. And then there's also, I would say, sites on the planet, let's say like volcanoes or by rivers, where there's a lot of energy and current running through underground. And it would create these vortexes of energy. And certain sites, let's say even like Sedona, and it's very rich in metals and minerals, let's say like iron. So you would have geological minerals in a specific spot that would cause these magnetic anomalies. And I really believe that these anomalies that are on our planet, there are millions of them, these places, millions of these places across the planet. It's everywhere. It could even be running through your studio right now. And depending on the geomagnetic field of the Earth, let's say like a solar flare or cosmic ray comes in, it could ionize the atmosphere. It could change the geomagnetic field of the Earth slightly, where you could have an anomaly or a portal or something open up in that space. And I believe that's how it works, and I think that's how it operates. I also think that our future of technology will be based on this information, that what we see as UFOs or even Bigfoot, they could pop in and out of reality. And even I've experienced and seen these things, they're just here and they just disappear like a ghost. And you know that they're physical because they could leave physical traces, let's say like a Bigfoot track, but they're only here in a very short window of time and they pop out of the reality. So I believe that the next level of technology would be portal technology, where they could actually, or dimensional technology, where they could phase in and out of this world and dimension based on different types of electromagnetic fields and ionization.
And there's places where there are basically doors to nowhere built into rocks, into mountains. I find that fascinating. I mean, they have to be going somewhere, right?
Yes. Well, if you look at Peru, for example, there's doorways everywhere. And, you know, from a Westerner or just anybody walking over there, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would there be a doorway just on the side of a mountain and it doesn't go anywhere? It's just a door. But the shamans there will tell you that in their rituals and ceremonies, when they do plant medicine like ayahuasca, they will leave their body and they will walk through those doorways into other worlds. So that maybe the ancient shamans knew that there was a portal in that spot and it could be accessed in the out-of-body state. So in the physical world, they would build a monument around that portal that you can't see in three-dimensional space, but you can leave your body and experience that other world. And I believe that we live in a multidimensional earth, as in there are cities, literal cities, let's say like Shangri-La, that exist. They're populated by beings that have lived here a long time, but they're not in our physical dimension. And the only way to access these cities is through these doorways. And, you know, people may think they're physical. They may think there's like a underground city right below our feet, and there's stories of it right below our feet. And then we dig physically and we'll never find anything. It's because it does not exist in this physical plane reality. And when you leave your body or have those altered states of experience, you can phase out of this world and suddenly you end up in this city. I also believe that a lot of the beings, what we would call aliens, or some of even the ships that we experience and see, come from the earth. They come from the different cities and planes that reside on our earth, but are just out of phase with us. So we get glimpses of these beings and they can pop in and out of our reality, but we have not evolved to the state of understanding yet that we can actually have that technology or spiritual understanding to do what they're doing.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, Bigfoot, how it's there 1 minute and it's just gone the next. Some of these ships, they have an aspect to them that's not physical at all. That's why the more I look at the UFO phenomenon, it's just so much deeper than anyone can ever possibly imagine, it seems. The physical aspect falls away, and there's so much that seems non-physical to it, but there are also beings that can make themselves physical. There's so much we don't understand about it, and there's so much happening right now with, you know, all the UFO footage. I don't know if it's just the age we live in of the internet where there's just more people catching it, but it, you know, I cover this. I show UFO footage on my show all the time, and it seems like we're seeing a lot more of it lately.
I think not only are people waking up and looking up in the sky and seeing these things, I also think that technology has a way of catching these things. For example, I've caught a lot of UFOs on my camera, but my shutter speed was so fast. So with my physical eye, I wouldn't be able to visibly see it. This ship could fly right in front of me. My eye, it's moving so fast, my eye will not catch it. But my camera, with a very fast shutter speed, suddenly I catch it in the film. So these things are moving quite fast or out of our reality. And digital sensors, camera sensors, could actually see beyond the human eye. So they actually have to tune those digital sensors to capture what we see. But you can get digital sensors that see in the X-ray or see in the ultraviolet. You can specifically tune digital things to pick up on things. And I believe that there's a reason why those technologies are kept from us as well. Because if we can see into different wavelengths of light, we may actually be able to see these other beings that walk or inhabit around us. In fact, there was a story, I'm trying to remember if it was Fuji or Sony. I think it was a Sony camera, where this was like one of the original digital cameras that came to the market, and people were using them and taking pictures, and they would catch UFOs and ghosts and beings in these digital pictures. And when word got out that this camera was really good at picking things up, the camera was discontinued, and they said there was something wrong with it, and they took the camera off the market and they fixed the sensor. So I think that it's a combination of technology advancing and also us being more aware and open to the fact that these things are real.
Do you think that in any way they're trying to make their presence known, that they are trying to make us more aware of them? And if so, it seems, you know, in ancient times that we had more open communication with these entities. Will we see that ever again?
I really hope so. I really hope that we have some type of communication, because from what I've learned is that we aren't as separate as you think. What I mean by that is, if we are destroying ecosystems of this planet, it could have repercussions in other worlds and dimensions and beings. So, you know, we can go really down the rabbit hole and talk about like fairies or or different nature spirits, elementals.
Did a show about fairies the other day.
Perfect. But basically, we may be, let's say, going into a forest and clear cutting that forest, killing all the nature in that area. We don't know what's populated there in another dimension. We don't know what's really there on the other side. And, you know, we can cut down those forests or that space, and it could have repercussions in this world. In fact, you know, the people cutting it down, they may get sick or they may get hurt, and they kind of cry out like, why is this happening to me? But they don't understand that they've walked and tread and trespassed in the wrong area, and there might be some consequences to that. So we may have to kind of look back and say, we have to have this open communication. Maybe there's areas of this planet that need to stay off limits to humans. You know, it could be dangerous for us.
Now, for the last few minutes we have, I'd like to talk about the healing you're involved with. What does it involve? What exactly are your healing? And, you know, what techniques do you use for this?
Well, we put a lot of meaning to healing. We really do. We think it's something magical. But really what healing is having a strong connection to your body, to your mind, to your environment. And there is an energy flow. There is a consciousness that is all around us. And the technique or the system that I use, it's all about feeling. It really is all about feeling. It's about putting your mind, emotions, and consciousness towards who you are and what is going on physically with you, and breathing, taking that energy in. So I use a lot of methods like Qigong, different meditations, breathing exercises. And that's the foundation of, I would call, my healing practice. But when it really, really comes down to is a type of connection. And I feel like, I'll say, disease or symptoms or issues that we all experience, it stems from some type of imbalance, be it an imbalance of the mind, an imbalance of the body, an imbalance of the environment we live in. And if we can figure out what that imbalance is and learn how to correct that, then we start to shift. And I would also say that the mind is extremely important in this, because the mind is the place where all of this first manifests, and then also our environment. So if we start to really learn about the mind and how the mind navigates, how the mind focuses, where the energy goes, where the consciousness goes, then we can start to pull our energy back and focus it in other areas which cause healing. All right. So it's not like we're connecting to healing. We are healed. It's just we're out of balance. And if we could learn how to reconnect ourselves and rebalance what is out of balance, the body will automatically come back into that alignment. So there is no magic here. There's no magic pill or magic herb or magic meditation. There's none of that. It's all about learning what works for you and how you can control and shift things. And that is a talent that is different for every single human. You have to learn what works for you. And I would even say that the most powerful healing modalities are the ones that, I don't want to say you make up, but it's the ones that get you to that place where you consider yourself to be healed.
Yeah, and there's so many things right now that prevent you from healing yourself, like the food we're eating, you know, the air we're breathing, the water. So, you know, there's things I would imagine we have to do first, you know, to kind of clean ourselves out to begin this process, right?
Oh, yeah. It's all part of the rebalancing. I mean, if you're going to sit there and eat food that is laced with chemicals, you have to take those chemicals in your body and process them, which is very difficult and will cause certain issues. In fact, like if you're living close to factories that are polluting, you know the air you're breathing isn't clean. It has toxins and metals and things in the air, and the body has to process it. So if you are suffering certain conditions, I would say the first thing we should always look into, the number one thing, is environment. It's the number one thing we should look into. What are we eating? What are we putting into our bodies? What are we drinking? What are we breathing? And from that level, we can start to purify or detox, nutrify, which is, I think, the most important thing, is the body needs things to build upon. So you want to give your body the best possible supplementation or foods to build you. And that's the first level. In fact, a lot of issues, even of the mind and emotions, stems just from that simple cleaning up the body. And then from that point, then through, let's say, meditations, breathing techniques, different types of therapies, we can start to look into the mind, how the person sees themselves in the world, and work on those issues. Most people have traumas which change the way that energy flows through the body. So most humans, I don't say most humans, everybody has a flow of energy through the body. And each person is completely unique based on their life experience and the traumas and their belief systems, how they see themselves in the world. And that blueprint determines how energy flows through your body. Now, if those belief systems flow the energy a certain way, just the belief itself can cause a symptom or an ailment. So just by changing the belief or changing the ideas, you can shift the way the energy flows, and suddenly you don't have that ailment anymore. And there are very, very strange things that we're still learning about, like you know, there are still cases all over the world of people going into a hospital with, let's say, terminal cancer. They do nothing, and the next day they wake up and they don't have cancer in the body. It's a mystery. How do they come in with it, but they don't have it when they leave, even though they didn't do any surgery or anything? So we have to try to figure out what is the mechanism in place. You know, if we can call it miracles, but I don't want to use that word at all. I think there's an actual mechanism that can take place where it could transform the physical body into a place of healing, just with a change of a thought or a change of a belief.
You mentioned this a few times as well. There is a sort of mass awakening, it would seem, going on around the planet. It's also coinciding with a revealing of some of the hidden world that's going on. How far do you think we can take this? Do you think that we can see a breakdown of the current system that we're in and, you know, a totally different type of society within our lifetime?
I would really hope so. Obviously, I'm always looking for the best. I don't think it's going to be a huge transformation as people think. I think that it's going to be a slow transition, and we'll still have the same setup as we have right now. It would just evolve as the human consciousness evolves as well. Because if the human consciousness evolves, the system that is in place has to evolve with it, or it will be destroyed. So I believe that these governments or world powers, they already have things in place with shifting of mass consciousness. So yes, we can be more free, we can develop better, but you also see the negative where things are ramping up in the negative to keep us more, I'll say, sick or in false belief systems to try to hold us as long as humanly possible in this reality. But trust me, like, I don't want to, when I started this, I don't want to say I was quite young, but back in 2005, when I would have conversations with people, I'd say, I'm learning Reiki, for example, right? People look at you like, what did you just say? That's craziness. I've never heard anybody use that word before. Now I can go to Starbucks and just talk to a random person and go, you know what Reiki is? And they'll be like, yeah, my cousin does that, or I do that. So like I've seen it, even in my short time here, I've already seen it go from, what are you talking about, to, of course we know what that is. So I would say in the next 20 years, what we're discussing right now, I'm sure that will be very open to the mass population. And I have no idea in 20 years, 30 years, what we're going to be discussing. Because as we evolve and as we get new information about the world we live in, society will follow. And if you're reading the scientific magazines or the scientific papers coming out now, I would say even over the past 5-10 years, we do not know what reality is. This is the conclusion. We do not know what reality is. We're still trying to figure it out. So we don't know the ultimate answers. We may be very scientifically and technologically advanced, but we still don't know the biggest questions. And I feel like if those questions start to be answered in a way that's understandable, we could apply that new knowledge to technology and science and our own life, and that would transform our society.
Very well said. Good note to end on. And thank you so much. That was fascinating information. Your website is thecrystalsun.com, right?
It is.
Before you head out, tell us if you have anything interesting you're working on upcoming.
Well, right now, this is the season where we're washing our crystals, which are the aurolite crystals coming out from the mine up in Thunder Bay, Ontario, which is close to where I live. And so over the next month or two, I'm going to be working on crystals and putting them on the website. And other than that, I don't know. We'll see where the world takes me.
Very good. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. That was awesome information. There's so much more we could talk about, so I will definitely have you back on.
Thank you for having me.